Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to The Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey there. Welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. Thank you so much for being here. Today, we are talking to Adeola Fadumim on her pivot into podcast management. She went from online business manager / project manager and niched down into podcast management just months ago, and she shares why she decided to make that decision, what her fears were before she joined my program, the Podcast Manager Program, and what she is loving about her business today. I really wanted to bring Adeola on the show because she has been self-employed for 10 years, and therefore she's pivoted a lot. So I was really interested to hear her story on what made podcast management the best fit for her now. And before we go hear her story, I wanted to invite you to grab a seat in my free masterclass where I'm going to be teaching you how to become a profitable podcast manager without working more than 20 hours a week. Yes, it's possible, and I'm going to show you exactly how to do that in this free masterclass. So grab a seat at laurenwrighton.com/masterclass. All right, let's go chat with Adeola. Hi, Adeola. I'm so excited to chat today. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lauren. I'm excited to chat with you too.
I am really excited to hear your whole story of business because I know bits and pieces, but unless you chat one-on-one with someone, there's so many things you can miss from just kind of getting to know someone on social media. So to get started, can you just explain a little bit of who you are and how you got into online business?
My name is Adeola Fadumie, for those that do not know me. And I have been in business for it's going to be a decade come next year, June. And I have been in full-time business for about 5 years now. And prior to that, I left my job in 2011. And the first thing I stepped into was freelance writing. I am a writing editor. I'm a creative at heart. So I was like, I've been writing since I was a kid with my first manuscript when I was 8. I left my job. I was looking for a job. I couldn't find something. I said, I need to make money so I can be a freelancer and freelance write. So that's how I started as a business owner in general, as an entrepreneur. And the first year, I think I made $290. And that was, I think, July, August through December. I started in June, but then moved back home in August. So July through December, I made $290. And I was like, oh, this is not working. But then my background is in public relations and marketing. And my work in corporate has always been to plan events, to manage. I'm always managing something. So the year after, I decided I was going to add on event planning. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into the world of management. And I was already managing, but as a business owner into management. And then over the years, I've moved from that into project management and then into online business management. And now focusing, I'm still an OBM, online business manager, but I focus primarily on podcasts and helping business owners launch and manage podcasts. So that's my journey. I really started out not having a job, couldn't find a job, and said, I need to make money. And I still do side hustle as a writing editor. But then I found my space enjoying the online world and I stayed there. So that's really my story in a nutshell, I think.
Yeah. And I can only imagine what the freelance space has looked like along your journey. I mean, freelance writing has been around for a long time, but
yes.
When was it that, if you have a memory of this, when was it that you started hearing of the term virtual assistant or online business manager?
I started here in virtual assistant, I would say in 2016, but I wasn't thinking I was going to be a virtual assistant. I just, at that point I was doing events, I was doing weddings, conferences, seminars, and I also knew I wanted to focus more on lifestyle stuff. So more photo shoots and video shoots. And so when I transitioned into project management, I was producing photo shoots and video shoots with different companies. But then I also knew that I wanted to have a location-free career, something I've always talked about and wanted. And I kept on thinking, what can I do? And the word I kept coming to my mind was administrator. I'm a manager. I can run a production. I can run a business. I know that. But then I think I went online looking for, you know, virtual administrator. And I kept on saying virtual assistant. I'm like, I don't want to, that's not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And but it was 2016 when I was trying to move from event planning into more administrator management kind of stuff. I'm probably sure the word was around a long time before that. But OBM was probably 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or 3 years ago that term started popping out as I went online looking for how to really transition away from what I was doing then also. Because I'm always about evolving and pivoting until you find what blesses your heart and makes you happy and does all the things that you wanted to do for you. And for me now, it's podcast management.
Yeah. And there's something about the online space that it's like a year in business is like a decade. So the fact that you've actually been doing this for a decade, number one, that's you're committed. And I love the ability to pivot and to change. And I mean, we can do that with any career, but mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to kind of reinvent yourself in the online space.
Yeah. And it's with lots of tears. Oh my God, a lot of depressed moment. Like, what am I doing? Just get a 9 to 5. But I think it's the best thing I've ever done with my, well, one of the best things I've done with my life. And I think for me, I've seen that the skills I do, they're all transferable. It's not that I'm changing skills. Mm-hmm. I'm deepening my skills and enriching my skills, or I'm using my skills just in different spaces and trying to figure out what do I really like to do? What do I really want to do? And even everything I've done, I've probably done for 2-3 years before I moved in, maybe 2 years before I moved into the next thing. I give myself time in the thing I was doing to learn it. And then I'm like, I know when I'm ready to move into something different. So usually it would be about 2.5 years that I do something and said, I'm ready to do it differently. And I give myself the grace to shift and change. Mm-hmm. I give myself that grace.
Yeah. I think that's a good point though, is that, you know, we want the ability to change and to adapt if something isn't working, but we do also have to give it time for us to get good at it, for us to see if it's the right fit. And instead of, you know, I think there's a thin line between like, are we giving up too early or are we giving ourselves grace to change? So yeah, I think that 2 years for sure is like a good amount of time for you to know, okay, I've learned a lot about whatever it is that I'm doing. I know what it's like. I know how I can succeed here. Now, if I need to adapt, would be a good time.
Yes. And I struggle, honestly, even though it took me 2 years, I struggle with, am I making changes too fast? I think I used to question that. But I realized that I wasn't, because what I was doing was all in the same field. Mm-hmm. Event planning is a project. So I just moved from that into more managing lifestyle stuff. And I was like, I really want to manage businesses. And then further down, it's okay, let me focus on the podcast. In the podcasting world. So I really used to struggle with that. But then I was like, you know what, forget it. I do what I do well. And I know myself. I know what's good for me. I know what works and what doesn't work. And I have people still coming to me to plan events. I was like, I'm good at it, but it's not what I do anymore. So it's really knowing yourself and giving yourself the grace to move and shift. Also giving yourself time to be rooted in what you already do and do well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's up to us to be able to see how all of our experiences link together. Like you said, you could probably explain your experience and make it sound like everything is so different and separate. Or you can, you know, take some time and look at it and see how it's all linked up, because it really is. And I've done that with my background. I've been all over the place, but at the same time, I can see how I was using the same skills and how my different personal interests have popped in through the things that I've done in the last 10 years. So I think it is up to us though, to be able to look back and see how has all of this actually been leading me here. Mm. And instead of thinking that you're a newbie at everything that you do, you're actually bringing in experience of either like hard skills or soft skills. And both are really important.
Yes. And I think about that specifically with podcast management. When I was thinking of going that direction, because I've talked about it for years, and I was like, I don't know anything about audio. I think it was taking your course, and I realized this is really managing a project. It's really creating a workflow and helping your client, the person you're working with, see from a bird's eye view that you can really structure how you execute, either you're launching or managing a podcast. And then I'm a storyteller. At the end of the day, I'm a creative. And podcasting is a storytelling platform. I had to really come away from, I've never really done podcasting, to I have the skills, the basics, even more than the basic skills to help a person launch a podcast and help a client manage a podcast. So I had to really sit with myself. And, you know, you can always, we're our own worst critic. So I had to really sit with myself and say, what do you bring to the table and what can you learn? Mm-hmm. So coming to your course, taught me the things I did not know, and even enhanced the things I already knew. Mm-hmm. So that's important to keep in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really passionate about that. When people think of podcast editing or podcast management, they think of like the really technical skill of editing, and they get hung up on like, I didn't go to school for audio. And I'm like, I don't even know how to talk about it, you know, half the time. But what I found is like a lot of podcasters, they need more help with that project management side because they have so many projects on their plate that they're actually looking for, you know, the entire package, not just the editing piece.
And when I get on calls with my client, I learned that one of the biggest struggles is having everything in your head and knowing everything you need to do. And that's really when I work with clients, when I was doing event planning, and it was all there, I have all this vision and ideas, and it's like, let's get it down on paper. Let's create a structure. And that's the same with podcast management. Like I edit, but my favorite part is really the managing and the strategy and the production and making sure everything aligns and that you're not spending 4 to 10 hours producing one episode of your podcast.
Yeah.
Because some people do that.
And I think the storytelling element of it is really key because storytelling is strategy. And so if a client has, I don't know if you've had this experience, but a lot of times when I've come on board for a podcast that was already launched, the host will have like 20 topics brain dumped somewhere, you know, on Trello or wherever. And they just kind of just put stuff out, like whatever they want to put out that week, they just put it out. And that's fine because consistency is good. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you got to do in the beginning, then that's what you got to do. But, you know, from someone that's passionate about storytelling, like you're saying you are, you can look at all those topics and say, okay, let's have a mindset episode this week. Let's have a tactical episode this week. And you can look at it from a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
Make the podcast so much more impactful with just a little bit of intentionality.
I love that you bring it out because I had that exact same scenario with a client. Was it Monday? Because Monday, it's my birthday week. So Monday was my last day working. And she had all these idea dump in a table of everything she wants to talk about. And she already structured out the first season. I'm like, everything you're talking about is all mindset. Mm-hmm. But your podcast is mindset based, but it's about helping business owners. If I was a business owner, I want to hear beyond just mindset, especially if you're marketing tactical business tips and practical things that you want to bring to the audience. I need us to look at all the themes you have and see how we can layer mindset over marketing, over business backdrops so that I can come to your podcast and know that I'm getting different things every week. And because you're launching, you're about to launch. I don't want you to put out three things of the same thing and you can't tell if is that what people want. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to, it's not just editing, it's not just writing show notes. It's really looking at it from a bird's eye view, like what is this supposed to look like and feel like and sound like? What's the theme? And how can we incorporate the themes in a way that our audience are getting every single bit of what we have to offer without getting overwhelmed by just one section, which is mindset for what was mindset for that client.
Yeah. Yeah. It's whatever like they enjoy talking about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes podcasts can be too heavy on the practical advice. Like it's just too straightforward and people don't really, I mean, I know whenever I open up my podcast app, sometimes I want to listen to something that's more of just like, let me think about, instead of having to think like, okay, I'm going to have stuff to put on my to-do list after listening to this podcast. Like you want a good mix. And on the other side, if it's all mindset, then if you're listening to too many episodes in a row of mindset, then I think I kind of get into that mode of like, okay, but what am I doing with this information?
Yes.
So a good mix I think is really good.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
Okay. So how did you find out about podcast management? Tell me the story of how you kind of stumbled into it.
So I had no idea there was something called Podcast Manager when I was thinking about podcasts. And that was 2016. When I was moving from event planning into project management, I knew I wanted to manage photo shoots. I wanted to produce video shoots. And I wanted to do podcast management. Well, that wasn't what I was using. I wanted to manage podcasts, what I kept on saying. Mm-hmm. So it was on my mind. And I got some clients that I would talk to strategically, but not really dive in. But it wasn't until I took a masterclass with Tasha Booth, the masterclass on how to be a podcast manager. It was an hour long, but I was like, this is what I already do as an OBM. This is what I already do for my online business management clients, like really helping them do what they do, walk in your zone of genius, record the podcast, and I would take care of the rest. So that was how I got introduced to the fact that I can actually really do this. And then she mentioned your course in that. And I was like, I'm going to check out Lauren's course. And I went online and looked for it. And I remember saying, oh, do I want to jump into this now? Should I? And I would say it's one of the best decisions I've made in the past year is to take your course and get into it and learn what I needed to learn. And when I took your course, it's laid out in a way that I see things I'm strong at and I see things I need to improve at. And that's how I was, okay, I know that I've got this down. I can be better because it's podcasting, it's an online business management. They're two different things. And so the things I need to work on. So it was Tasha's masterclass that introduced me to the idea that I can really do this. And then taking your course made me like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, I love that. Well, first off, shout out to Tasha because I love her and she's been a huge supporter of me.
She's my coach, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think she's I do coach. That. I think yeah. I do that. And she coaches a couple people in my program in addition to you.
Yeah.
But I actually met her in person at Podcast Movement in August of 2019, which feels like 3 years ago. But
given 2020.
Yeah, given that fact. So I'm glad that you brought up though that you were, you know, you had to stop before you joined my program. You had to stop and say, okay, am I going to jump into this? So that was probably a fear. Are there any other fears that you had before deciding you were going to jump in?
Oh gosh. I thought for me, there were a few things. One was, am I going to get clients? Mm-hmm. And I think at the backdrop of that was, do people really need this? Mm-hmm. So it was, oh gosh, am I niching down to down? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Am I going to get clients? Would I love doing this for a long time? Mm-hmm. So there was that question too. And I think I told myself before I niched into podcast management that I'm going to give myself more than 2 years with this. I'm going to give myself 5 years mm-hmm. in this. And for me, it was the fear of, will I get clients? Is this too narrow a niche? Can I do this? All the mindset questions you have. But then I think I once came into your Facebook group and said, it was a few months ago that I said, can someone tell me again why podcast matters? It was after I've joined and I had clients, but I was having those mindset struggle. I don't know if you remember that post. Can anyone tell me why podcast management is the way to go? And I remember people saying, because this, that. I was like, okay, I'll do this. So for me, this is what the fears I add. This is what the fears I add.
Yeah. And I think that's totally normal that you had those feelings even after joining because we have to cheerlead each other on. Mm-hmm. We all have doubts along the way. And I think in 2 years and 3 years and 4 years, you're still going to have doubts.
Yeah.
You're going to have those days where you're like, is this the right thing? And we have to go to a support system or look back at feedback we've gotten from clients. Mm-hmm. Like, I just screenshot things that people send me that really like touch me. I screenshot them and I feel kind of silly doing it because I'm like, oh, am I just going to like go read this later and tap myself on the back? But sometimes we need that.
Yes.
You know, and we're really good at remembering the negatives.
Yes.
And we're not good at remembering the positives.
Yes. I actually have a smile folder. It's in my marketing folder. It's called Smile Folder. Everything anyone has said to me that you'll do a good job, you're great at this. Anytime someone recommends me in a group, I will screenshot that thing and save it so I can come back and look at it.
That's awesome.
I think one of the other big fear I had was the technical part. That was a huge struggle for me, especially the editing. And Tasha mentioned it to me, but you also did that. Because I'm an OBM, I'm used to managing people. So I don't have to run podcast management like it's just me doing everything. Mm-hmm. So I edit, but I also got an editor. So for me, it was really looking at the fear and saying, how can I resolve this fear? What are the things I can do to minimize the fear or get rid of it entirely? Mm-hmm. And that's how I attack fear in general anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point of, you know, if your fear is the technical piece, then you could say, okay, well, I'm going to give this a shot. And then if I don't like it or it's too hard or whatever that fear is, then I can outsource it or I can look at your options and see I can either do this or I can do that. And either way, it'll be good so I can move forward.
Yes, I agree. And I think for me, I wanted to learn it. For me, it's important to learn how to do it. Just in case something happens, I can take it and finish it up. But I knew that I didn't want to spend my time editing. I want to spend my time really strategizing and producing and managing and building a team around that can do the things that not that I can do, but it's not best use of my time or I don't enjoy doing. Yes. But I knew I wanted to learn how to edit because I wanted to have that in my toolkit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're not alone with the people that love the management piece of podcast management, and they don't necessarily want to get into that like nitty gritty of editing, because editing is very nitty gritty. So I love that you hired an editor. How did you mentally go about that with like your packages and outsourcing just any piece of it? Would you have any advice for someone that would also want to do that?
I would say sit down first and put a dump together of everything that has to do with what you want to do as a, what you can do and should do. I hate the word should, but as a podcast man, what can be in your package? Mm-hmm. And then figure out what are the things that you don't want to do. And for me, it was editing was the biggest piece. Like I'm a writer. I can write a show note with my eyes closed. Especially if I have a template to work with, I'm fine with that. So when I decided, okay, this is the piece that I don't want to take on long-term, then I looked at it and started looking, what are people charging for that? And I knew that I had a whole lot of wealth in the Facebook group that you have. Everyone, there are lots of editors. And so I went in and see what are people charging. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, this people are charging this. This is the average that people are charging maybe for 30 minutes of raw file. How can I bake this into my pricing? Mm-hmm. So I think I wasn't going to create a package that if I'm hiring someone, I want to make sure I'm baking the price into it. If I get someone to write my show notes for my clients, I'm making sure that I have to increase my pricing to be able to carry that. So it's really dumping, picking out one to three things you don't want to do, going around and researching what the people are charging and then baking that into your pricing.
Yeah, that makes 100% sense. Okay, so what kind of clients are you working with now and what are you doing with them?
So when I started, I wanted to work with storytelling podcasts. So like I was thinking more nonfiction, fiction, drama. But I also knew that I have clients that my goal was to really still work in the marketing space. So right now I work primarily with business owners that have podcasts that want to use that as a marketing strategy. Because people can have podcasts as a hobby, mm-hmm. as fun. But I really wanted to work with business owners because that's the market I was already working with as a business manager. So right now I'm working with two business owners that are launching podcasts. One, it's a business podcast. And the other, it's more a career-focused podcast. So I'm working on podcast launches. I'm also managing two podcasts. One is health and fitness, but it's focused on, that's what she does for business. So she's using that as a marketing content strategy. And the other thing that I do that I don't think many podcast managers offer is I pitch not just podcast hosts that I work with, but even other business owners to get on podcast as guest, because my background is in PR and I've pitched my other clients when I was managing projects to be in different magazines. I'm a writer. I've pitched to be in magazines. I have articles in magazines. I was like, this is a skill that I have that I can actually bring to the table. So those are the kind of things that I'm working on, but I also do system auditing setup. So if you don't want to hire a manager, but you want someone to help you set up your backend so you can be able to have a workflow or checklist for how to produce every episode of your podcast, I also offer that service.
I think that's so smart because the way I look at it is most business owners, they're either really organized and so they appreciate organization and they're going to pay for it, or they're not organized and then they appreciate it even more because they need help with it.
Yes.
So like organization and workflow and management is just so high on the list of things that people need. But then also PR, right now there's so much publicity around getting on podcasts because it's such a great way to spread your message. So yeah, I think that's awesome that you are bringing those all into podcast management so that you can help people in those ways.
Yes. Yeah. And I think because everyone has different price point they can meet. So if you don't want to hire a manager, you can get someone to really look at your system, whether you're launching or you already launched, and saying, if you want to really always have a smooth, seamless way of producing every episode and not spend 10 hours on one episode, I can create for you a workflow that you can replicate for every episode that you do. Because really, to be honest, the biggest part about launching and management is all the little tiny things you need to do, because it's also replicable over every episode. Mm-hmm. You can really create a workflow that you can duplicate and use every time you want to launch a new episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the consistency and that piece of podcast management. And I'm someone that like, I want to do something different every single day. So I've been surprised that I like that it's such a replicable process, because number one, it's satisfying just to like check each thing off each time.
I love that.
Like that's just like gives you like a high, but then also it's the topic is different. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's what energizes me about it, but yeah, it's like, it's the same project every single week. So you know what to expect and mm-hmm. you can manage it very effectively because it doesn't change very much.
Yeah. And I think for me, aside from those two things, the third piece is that it gives me time to do other things mm-hmm. because it's the same process. So I know that what I'm supposed to be doing with every episode for a client. So that gives me space to have room to focus on other things that I want to do that isn't podcast related, because I've created a template, a strategy, a workflow that I can use for this client over and over again.
Yeah. So that makes me think, how many hours are you working on average a week?
Oh gosh. Right now, I would say it's 20, 25. I think it's higher because I also have the pitching clients that don't mm-hmm. have podcasts. It's just me working on their pitches and all of that. Maybe 30, because I don't work on Fridays. So okay. I would say around 30, give or take.
Yeah. Awesome.
This week, maybe 5. I didn't do anything. It's my birthday week. So
right. Your birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. Yes.
Thank you.
We made the connection that it was my sister's birthday as well.
Yeah.
So what do you love about your business now?
The one thing, like a lot of things, but the first one that came to mind is the focus. Mm-hmm. As an online business manager, as a project manager, those two last that I did before I came into podcasting, every client wants something different. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting on a discovery call, even though I had a baseline, this is what I do as a business manager. Every client came with something different in the business they wanted me to work on. And that meant me getting off a call and having to structure a proposal or some from scratch sometimes. So it takes time. But with focusing on podcasts, I love the focus in the sales process. I love the focus on the marketing. For me, that would be the biggest that I'm beginning to enjoy about my business. But I also love the freedom that I have as a business owner, to be honest. I've been doing this for almost a decade now. And it's just the idea that I can create my own space and bring people into my own space because I know I'm creating a welcoming space for both my clients and my team members. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the client experience. I love their team experience. I really love that about being a business owner. Even if I was working 9 to 5, I love people. So just being part of a team makes me happy. And I can do that even as a business owner with my clients and their team and with my own team members.
Yeah. How many team members do you have?
I have 3. So I have an assistant, I have an editor, and I'm probably going to get another editor just to have 2 just mm-hmm. in case. And I have a marketing person. I have a marketing, she used to be my intern. And then she transitioned and took, I gave her all my clients that I didn't want to work with anymore. And now she's yes. like, she still works for me. So she's my social media graphic marketing person. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I thanks for bringing that up because I wanted to say you have such a great presence on Instagram. Do you find that, like, intentional? You're welcome. Was that intentional? Number one. And do you get a lot of leads from it or do you just kind of enjoy doing it? Tell me a little bit about that.
Both. So mm-hmm. I love to be in front of a camera. I'm an entertainer. I'm sure you can tell from my Instagram story. I love talking on camera. I don't mind it. So for me, it brings me joy because I took a marketing personality thing with Brie Kohler. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. Mm-mm. And my personality is entertainer. Mm-hmm. So I was doing other things that I wasn't enjoying. She said, you need to just focus in on getting in front of a camera and just speaking the things that you know and learn. So yes, it brings me joy. I enjoy it. It wasn't planned, but it was also planned that I like to do this. Mm-hmm. But then since I stayed consistent, showing up and just being myself, it's for me, I'm very intentional about being authentically myself. And I bring that to my social media platform, whether it's to my personal social Instagram or my business. And I've learned that people accept and gravitate, at least the people for me accept that and gravitate towards that. So I'm mm-hmm. when I say DM me, I get people DM me. Aside from client referral, it's my other big piece where I get clients from. Would be mm-hmm. client referral and Instagram. And just showing up and giving value, but being myself without trying to sound all formal and no, that's not me. And I'm not going to do that. So let's just have me as I am.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah. I like that you were like, you identified that a business where you're not in front of the camera isn't one that you're going to like as much because you love that piece of it. So you can use Instagram to kind of be more creative in that way mm-hmm. so that it's, you're kind of building that business that you, that's going to bring out the best in you.
Yeah, I agree. And even if I stop doing Instagram stories, I know that for me, I probably would be doing IGTV, mm-hmm. something that like I can bring value, but still be in my own self, my authentic self and selling that way.
Yeah.
It's been great for me. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah. So where do you see your business going from here?
Honestly, I've always had this vision of doing film.
Okay.
So I currently say Chris and Tiana, which is my podcast management company, is my 10 to 6. And my side also, I'm on light as a writer editor. So I write for magazines, I edit novels for authors, I coach writers and authors. And I am currently working on my first script ever.
Ah, love it.
My vision is to really align, is to be a film producer. Down the line, it's not something I'm really looking into now, because I can bring both my creative skills and my production management skills to the table as a film producer. I can run a production set, but I can also write the story that the production set is producing. So right now, that's the vision down the line. And that's why podcast was great for me, because it's a storytelling platform. There's the audio part to it. There's a storytelling platform. It was a great way to really jump in and see what that looks like virtually. virtually.
Yeah.
But in the next 1 or 2 years, 3, 4 years, I really just want to keep growing as a podcast manager. I want to grow as a thought leader. Mm-hmm. I really want to be able to learn more beyond just what I know about podcasting. I want to be able to add value beyond what I know. I want to say be on stages, adding value by teaching. I love to teach. I love to share the information that I have. So I see my business growing in the sense that I am learning more and giving more and making more money. How about that? While doing less work.
Yeah, I love that. And I love asking that question, because now it's like you've said it. And now when it happens, you can look back and say like, okay, yeah, I said that at one point and now I made it happen. You know, because if it's just in your head, then it's easy to just let it stay there.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so thank you so much. I've loved hearing this. How can people connect with you and learn more about you and then work with you?
Definitely. So you can find me on Instagram. It's Chris and Tiana, CrysandTiana. That's where you will find me doing all the things that I do, talking up everything about podcasting. And you can work with your lunch on a podcast. You need someone to manage your podcast for you. Or you just need someone to come into your workflow and just help you make sense of it. I'm the person to come to. Like Lauren, I think Lauren does that too. So it feels weird saying this is what I do when you do it also. But in addition, I pitch not just podcast hosts. I also pitch business owners to be on podcasts as clients. But you can come on Instagram and that's where you will find me.
Yeah, hang out with you.
Yes.
Yeah, get to know you. Get to know what we're talking about. Yeah, and I am not taking on clients anymore. So
I guessed it.
I stopped taking on clients in January. So I launched 2 podcasts in January 2020, and I knew those were going to be my last 2 because I wanted to focus on building up this podcast management world. And there's just such a huge opportunity here that I was like, I need to focus on this and not just continually take on new clients. Although it's super fun. So I don't know if it'll be forever, but I might go back to it, but we'll see.
Send out your clients to me.
Yeah. I'm sending those leads. Someone actually asked me recently, because my website is still split where it's like, you can work with me one-on-one or you can, work with me teach you how to be a podcast manager. And I'm going to keep it like that for a while because I get great leads and then I can pass them off to you guys in the course. And so I'm like, it's really working. Mm-hmm. It's working that way.
I think you've tapped into a huge market, because I know people have been asking in my DMs, how did you become a podcast? I'm like, this is the course that I took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said earlier, it feels as if it's very, very niched, but I compare it to like blog management and how everyone has a blog. Everyone needs help. And that's how podcasting has become in the last, 18 months. So
it's just exploded.
Yeah.
Yep. Same with Pinterest. You exploded. Yeah. Where are you all coming from?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story, sharing a lot of great insights for us. And I hope that people go and connect with you on Instagram. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Lauren, for having me. I really appreciate this time. This was good conversation. Thank you.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.